independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The RAISE Act will reduce poverty, increase wages, and save taxpayers billions and billions of dollars.
I think everywhere Trump goes now, he should bring a choir, right? And when they do something like the RAISE Act behind, they're like, RAISE Act, jazz hands. So this is legal immigration now. Let's get, there's two kinds of immigration. There's the kind where you come here on vacation and you kind of got an open-end ticket and then you never go home and or you sneak across the border or whatever it is that you do, right? There's that kind. That's called illegal immigration. This he's talking about today is legal immigration. Two kinds. Illegal, legal. Illegal, legal. This is the legal kind of immigration.
Legislation that would represent the most significant reform to our immigration system in a half a century.
Wow, he sounded bored there. Did he kind of sound a little bored to producer Phil? And a half.
He was reading.
He was. He's not good at that. He's not. But we need to. Somebody needs to work. Can we get somebody to work on it? Can we? It's not that hard. Get him an acting coach, right? It's not that hard. And have him read the stuff before he goes on stage. Please, I beg you. Because sometimes I think he's finding out what's going on as we are, as he reads it. He's like, why? I didn't even know that. Now I know. How about that? But I do. I like this. I got no problem with this. I have no problem with this at all. I don't. But here is where the fan that is spinning is going to see the come at it, because he mentions this.
This competitive application process will favor applicants who can speak English and demonstrate skills that will contribute to our economy.
Wait a minute. You want them to speak English? How dare you? Who do you think you are? The President of the United States? You're a xenophobe, a homophobe, a transphobe, a non-English speaking phobe. Oh, my God. That is going to piss people off. It is. That is going to anger people to no end. So you want people to come here, right? You want them to come to the United States of America with some sort of skill that will add to our society. And you want them to speak English? Wait a minute here, President Trump. I just want to get this right. You want somebody to come to the United States of America, and in doing so, you want them to add to our society. You want them to bring a skill that maybe we are lacking in this country. Coders are a perfect example. Programming folk, IT folk, computer folk. So you want them to come here, and when they come here, you would like them to speak our language? I find that to be highly insulting and very rude, if you will.
It will look at, does the applicant speak English? Can they support themselves and their families financially? Do they have a skill that will add to the U.S. economy? Are they being paid a high wage?
That's Steve Miller, and it's good to see him working. I mean, you know, he had Abracadabra and a few other hits, and since then it's just been downhill. Now he's a policy advisor. Somebody out there is going to go, really? No, he's a policy advisor, Stephen Miller right there. So again, listen to what this guy has to say. It's merit-based, meaning you have a skill. I don't know. Maybe you're a ninja. I don't know what it is. I don't know what your skill is, right? Maybe you program widgets and you come over here. Or maybe you say to yourself, I want to expand my business. I would like to open up something in America and I would employ Americans and I would come to the United States. And I want to do that. I'm going to invest in these here United States of America. America! What? And you want them to speak English? And let me tell you why these things resonate with me. I'm going to tell you this right now. One of my best friends in the world, his former betrothed, his former wife, lovely woman, Her mother and father were here for three decades from Argentina, and they spoke nary a word of English, and it drove me crazy. And they didn't have merit-based immigration skills that should have gotten them there, but that drove me insane. To live somewhere for a year or two and to not speak English, or to move to France or Germany and to not throw yourself into their culture is an insult to the people of that country and that culture. It is. If I went to Mexico and I was going to live down there, I would do everything I can to learn as much as possible to become part of the culture so I feel like, you know what? I'm doing all I can to not be a burden to other people and to become part of this culture. I'm not asking them to bend over backwards for me, which we do too often in this country. We bend over backwards. Go to a DMV. We have one of 643 languages. Do you have Sanskrit? Yes, we do. Push 9 for Sanskrit. That's ridiculous. It is. It's absolutely asinine and ridiculous. And I love people coming here from other cultures. I love people who, because quite frankly, many of these people that come here have a greater sense of what an American dream is than a lot of Americans who don't understand what an American dream is anymore because it's kind of all over the place. I get that. People who look at us and say, that's a land of freedom. That's a land of opportunity. That's a land where I can come and take a chance and build something and do something. I love that. But you find out that the people who become uber successful, they come to this country and they throw themselves into this country and this culture. When I had friends, when I played soccer in Europe, I had friends on the that would play in England with us, and they ended up, we're going to go to the continent. I got sold to a team in Belgium or France, and they would go over there and they come back in a year. And they're like, oh, it was horrible. I didn't like it. And you found out they didn't, you know, like, well, did you learn any French? Did you learn any Flemish? Did you learn any German wherever they were playing? No. And you're like, well, you fought it. You wanted to be English in Belgium. You wanted to be English in Germany. You wanted to be English in France. You'll always be English, but you never tried to become part of their culture. So it didn't work. And then I had friends who went over there. One of the players I played with, Simon Senroy, great player. He went to France. He embraced it. He learned French, married a French woman. He loved it. And you know what? He stayed there a long time, and he never had a problem because he became part of the culture. He became part of that. He never forgot who he was or where he was from, but he embraced it. And I've seen it here. How many of you have seen people that have come here from different countries, and they get here, and they want to be as American as possible? They drape themselves in the flag, and they want to be a part of that. And I think it's amazing. I do. I remember as a kid growing up in Long Beach, California, it was during what we used to call the boat people days when I was going to like 8th, 9th grade. And that was when the fall of the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot and everything fell apart. And you had tons and tons of refugees from Laos and Cambodia that were fleeing their country. And these kids didn't speak a lick of English, and they started school, and by Christmas, they were pretty much fluent in English, and they were thriving in their studies because they wanted it. But this whole thing about you got to speak English, that's going to make people upset. It's going to piss people off. But we need comprehensive reform, and it's not just illegal immigration. It's immigration across the board. Somebody moves over here, then 95 members of their family move over here. It's a lottery. Who are we getting? What are they doing? What are they bringing to us? Yes, you know what? We need to start operating in our lives and our country from a strength position, right? We have the power. We have the strength. Let's operate from that power. Let's take the best and the brightest. Let's do that. I'm not saying we don't look for other people that can come here. I'm not saying that if you don't have you got to have a doctorate. No. I'm saying let's be real, though. The way that they do it now in a lot of these places, it's a crapshoot. It's a lottery. let's be a little bit more picky choosy. We can operate from from strength, right? From a position of power, position of strength. Let's do it. What's wrong with that? People will come out and say it's xenophobic, right? It's isolationism. It's ridiculous. We need to update a lot of these things that haven't. Taxes, we need to update it. It's been 3 decades. That's the way I feel about that. It's time to modernize that. Immigration system, both illegal and legal. I like it. It's not a bad thing to look at things and say, is this right? He's going to have a tough time getting this through. But I love the fact that he's honest about certain things. And he comes out and he says, you know what? You got to come here. You got to speak English. You're going to come here. You're going to learn the language. You're going to be part of the culture. When I lived in Britain, you know what I was? Part of the culture. Yes, I spoke English and they spoke English. That was fantastic. But I was part of the culture. I was bangers and mash. I would go to the pub even though I didn't drink. I did that stuff. I played football. I was part of the culture. I looked at that as my home. I looked at England as my, when I was there, I was as English as I could be. I threw myself into the culture. It was a little easier because of the language thing. But I tell you what, it did help that you want to be a part of something and you don't resist. And too often than not here in America, man, we bend over backwards, right? We love to let the flea wag the tail, wag the dog. Somebody doesn't speak English? Well, we'll change everything for them rather than say, you know what? You should learn to speak English. That's rude. It's racist. It's xenophobic. Shut up. Shut up. Trust me. You learn to speak English, you're going to open up to millions of opportunities. It's going to be great. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. A lot of stuff to get to today. We're going to try to pack it into our bucket of fun. Everything from Rotten Tomatoes versus the studios. I like that. We got your urban word of the day. What do you hear? What this couple did when they complained about a photographer and how much money now they're supposed to pay the photographer. It's insane. Chad Benson Show.
Fresh farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Now, does it mean that every Democrat is going to agree? No. Does it mean that every Republican is? No, it's not going to be unanimous. But it will be, I think, a consensus bill that comes out to the floor. And that's our only shot right now.
That's the only shot, John McCain? That is the only shot for health care and a fix in health care. Let's be real. Which is good. Which is good. You know, I was talking to my show earlier today that we all need to have skin in the game. And we have gotten to this point where we are so divided. And we are a lot to blame for a lot of what goes on in Washington because we send people there with a specific reason to not do something or do something. And they dig their heels in. And you can't do that in life. You can't. Business wouldn't operate that way. There has got to be give and take. And you may not get everything you want. That's just life. Right? We tell our kids that. Hey, you're not going to get everything you want in life. Doesn't mean you're not going to get stuff you want. Doesn't mean you can't work hard. And it doesn't mean you may not get all the things you want in a certain specific time. Right? It may be overtime. The great saying from Ronald Reagan, get what you can now, we'll get the rest later. It's about give and take. That's what it should be about, is give and take. Chuck Schumer on bipartisanism.
We're not going to get it all our way. There'll be compromises. That's what it's all about. That's what the founding fathers created in this country.
Yeah, except for one thing. Nobody ever seems to want to give in. Nobody ever seems to want to give in to anything. They dig their heels in. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're afraid to go home and face their angry constituents. Because the minute that you do something where you vote against what everybody thinks that you should vote for, even though it may be good for the American people, because remember, even though you send somebody to D.C., their vote counts. And it changes the way that things happen across the country. Sometimes we have to give in a little bit. But we're so stubborn that we don't see that. And we're like, we sent you there to do this. So do it. It's ridiculous. Let's get everybody to have skin in the game. Leave your ego. Leave the RD at the door. Let's get healthcare sorted out. Each and every single day at this time, we make you a little hipper, a little cooler, and dare I say, a little bit more streetwise. We call this our urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
So the urban word of the day, you're going to have to think about this because this is it's a little tougher, right? It's a Twitter slang. You'll see this, though. It's W-Y-P-I-P-O. W-Y-P-I-P-O. When you say it fast, it's like white people. And that's what the slang is for. W-Y-P-I-P-O. White people. Why did people do that? I don't know. But it's crazy. That's why, because everything's about slang, right? We can't just say anything. You got to have some slang. Got to have a little oomph, oomph behind it. Example, you would tweet out something like, hey, W-I-P-I-P-O are crazy. They love their dogs. Let them sleep in their bed and kiss their face. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Cranium stretch. A lot of people texting in. You could do the same thing. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423 about what I was talking about when it came to immigration and speaking English. And it's not a horrible thing to ask people to speak English. It's not a horrible thing to do any of that stuff. I think it's a good thing. And I think it helps the people that come here when they acclimate themselves better. Would you move? What if your state was like California, one-party state? Just weird. ConservativeMove.com founder Paul Chabot is going to join us next. We're going to talk about people who are looking for a red state because they're sick and tired of the blue state. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I love my state. I don't recognize it much anymore. Talked about it ad nauseum. It's a one-party state that is out of control, run by people in Sacramento the way they feel that it should be run for their peeps in their world and the rest of us be damned. On top of that, it's expensive, it's ridiculous, and more people are fleeing the state like this gentleman did. Paul Chabot joins us. You've got conservativemove.com. You've ran for office twice here in California. And eventually, Paul, you decided you had enough of California and you said, you know what? I'm heading off to Texas.
Yeah, Chad. Hey, much appreciated. Thanks for being with me. And I love your intro. When they mentioned punk rock, I just kind of flashed back to my true roots. I grew up skater kid, long bangs, listened to Misfits, Social D, all the great bands. Many of them played in California, got their start out that way. So,
absolutely, man. That's what we are here. We're just above being a regular talk show.
That's awesome. Well, good job. Good job. So, yeah, look, you know, I was born and raised California, 43 years. My wife, the same. We've got four kids, ages 10, 7, 6, and 4. You know, my background, been in law enforcement 21 years, military 16 at the same time. The state that I was raised in, that you and I both grew up in, we can't even recognize it anymore. It is very difficult for us to say that we love California because, as Reagan said, you know, the Democrat Party left him. It's sort of the same in California. Look, when we were there, schools were incredibly good. Freeways were great. Crime was low. Good-paying jobs were plentiful. And it was overall a great, pleasant place to be. But that's back when conservatives were largely in charge, or Republicans, if you will. Since liberals have come into power, not just power, the supermajority in California and the extreme left wing, they've destroyed the state. You now got the highest crime rates, highest poverty rates. You have these tent cities popping up everywhere, and it's starting to look like Venezuela and other third world countries. And it just kills me that a beautiful state has been destroyed brick by brick by this liberal movement.
You know, it's funny because we were listening to earlier we had something from, you know, Bernie Sanders saying, oh, you know, the right wing is nothing but extremists. But I can look here in California and say Kevin DeLeon and all of these are, they're not Democrats. They're progressives that have moved so far left that you sit here and you think to yourself, my God, Paul, like where is the end of this madness going to be? And at what point in time are we going to become somewhat Venezuela-like?
Yeah, and that's why we created the Conservative Move, conservativemove.com website, to help families or individuals that have just had enough. They look at their communities and go, I don't belong here anymore. They don't want me. They don't support, you know, our beliefs of good schools, safe streets, good-paying jobs. So we help them relocate to red states. But let me say this. I've got a friend who's the chairman for the Riverside County Republican Party. Good guy. He's a mayor pro tem for Menifee. Called me up, and he's distraught. I mean, he's kind of upset that I'm moving conservatives from California to Texas and other areas. What I'm telling him, look, guys, if you can fight, fight the fight. But doggone it, the Republican establishment has devastated our party in California by going soft, trying to moderate, and just not standing up for our core principles. If you guys at all have a chance back, you need to talk about these core fundamentals about what families care about. It kills me that we had seven of our Republicans vote for this cap-and-trade tax in California. But on a business side, being out here in Texas, that has brought me so much more business. So it's a curse and a blessing. And I would love to see the conservatives really just, you know, put some big boy pants on and boot out the moderates and take back the state based on value.
Yeah. And I'm pretty independent. You know, I come at every single thing, Paul, as you know, each individual issue. And I hear both sides of the story. I want the truth. I want facts, not feelings. But the facts are California's got what we've got, what, 10% of the population, about 33% of the welfare. We are becoming a sanctuary state. Yep. We give, you know, licenses to people that are here illegal. We turn, you know, we've just turned this into this weird, bizarre kind of progressive utopia. And at the same time, it's broke, it's falling apart, but they don't seem to care.
No, and so here's the message that I think we need to do a better job of in communicating, but you're already doing it. There is a clear distinction and difference between, you know, the progressive leftists and the old school blue dog Democrats. Look, John F. Kennedy, if he were running today, he would not get the Democrat nomination. That part of the Democrat Party is dead in America and definitely in California. So my heart goes out to the old school blue dog Democrats who typically you could sit down with and have a rational conversation. But these other extremists on this far left end, like you said, they now control the politics. They control the policies. And so you probably read online just a few days ago, over 1 million illegal aliens in California now have driver's licenses, which should infuriate every legal citizen in California who is stuck in traffic, can't find a home, their schools are crowded, and they just can't find good-paying jobs. I mean, California is destroying the middle class in that once beautiful state.
Talking to Paul Chabot from conservativemove.com. And, you know, you talk about not finding a home. The prices here are ridiculous. People are – and why some people stay here, even for that alone, Democrat or Republican, why some people stay in this state for ridiculousness. The ridiculous prices that are just to be able to afford a small apartment in Orange County, Sacramento, Los Angeles, San Francisco – it's crazy. And you moved out to Texas. I lived in San Antonio. I loved it. I found it to be a very diverse culture and people. All the stuff that you hear about, you're going to move to Texas or this, that, and the other. Oh, my God, it's just a bunch of crazy rednecks. It's not like that. It's far more diverse than most people think because they're not. We're segregated here in many ways, as you know this, Paul, because of, of the prices of things. So predominantly areas are certain areas, whether it's Chinatown, whether it's predominantly African-American or this, that and the other. We're segregated by price.
We are. So in California, here's how nutty it is. First off, the state liberals are not in favor of home ownership. They're in favor of stack and pack. you know, large density homes. And the American dream has always been home ownership. When families own homes, they tend to take better care of their community. The kids are more engaged. Now, look, not everybody needs a home right now. You know, if you're young, single, et cetera, I lived in apartments, condos, all that. But as a family person, when you get to that level, research shows that kids thrive when parents own their home. In California, that's not possible. Two parents are likely working two or three different jobs, stuck in traffic both ways. But here's the big kicker. Homes in California don't need to be as much as they are. There is about $100,000 plus tacked on to the construction price of every new home in California, always an exception to the rule, but that increases the cost of that home to the new home buyer. So if California would just knock off all their environmental regulations and taxes and all these things, they could make home ownership and also allow builders to develop. There's plenty of land. But for some reason, they're trying to stack everybody into these urban centers and trains and mass transit and bicycle lanes, when that pushes away from our freedom of individuals and who we are.
You know, so you've got conservative move, and you've seen a lot of people. I know when I was just out in Missouri for a week or so and through the Midwest, and I ran into a lot of Californians who left, some because of the political leanings, some because of the expense. And I know in Texas it was the same way. In Texas, as I try to explain to people, you know, I interviewed the guy at the time who was the CEO of Carl's Jr. and Hardee's, and he said, you know, we'll never build a corporate store again in California because from day one to the day that we can serve a burger, it's up to 2 years. In Texas, I can get that done in 6 weeks. It's insane.
It is. And so if you look at Texas, you know, as one example of many, it's a huge business-friendly state. So many businesses leave California for Texas. Toyota closed their North American headquarters in California, brought 3,000 jobs here to North Texas. If you look at the four of the top 10 cities in America, they're within a 30-mile radius of where I live: Plano, Frisco, Allen, McKinney, Prosper, all of these great cities. And it's not just great cities for business. My school district that my kids go to has a 98.2% graduation rate. Average cost of homes probably $200,000, $225,000, $250,000. Gas is $1.98 per gallon. You're not paying 10 cents for a plastic bag. It just goes on and on and on. So we're not pioneers in Texas by moving here and creating this business. What we realized is so many people here in Texas have already left California. We're actually late to the game, but they left for the same reason that we did, and that's why we created conservativemove.com to help people sell their homes in a blue area where they're fed up, buy it in a red one, and then also help them find employment. And this is a huge region for good-paying jobs.
Yeah, and one of the things I know you hear in places is, well, man, if you move out of California, you're never going to be able to make the same kind of money you do here. And I call BS on that because I've lived all over the country. And guess what? You find out it's pretty comparative in a lot of places.
Yeah, absolutely. But also in California, you're paying a lot more for a lot less. I mean, gasoline alone, especially for the middle class families, most of them are commuting in traffic and stuck in these clogged freeways. They're going to pay, what, 12 to 14 cents more automatic coming in October. Then the cap and trade, the 50, 60, 70, 80 plus cents to kick in years down the road. And now the 10 to 20% addition in utilities. It just goes on and on. And now that we hear rumblings that the liberals want to take away Prop 13, which protects sort of your tax rate of your home when you purchase it. That, again, will be another death nail for California. You're going to be left with two groups there: the liberal coastal elite that control everything and the working poor.
So you've moved to Texas. You started conservativemove.com, and we're talking to Paul Chabot, who started this. You know, hey, we're going to move you from a blue state to a red state. It's really interesting. What do other Texans and people, when you move them, what do they say? Are they opening? Are they welcoming to having, because a lot of times, you know, it's like, oh, it's somebody else from another state. But how is the feel around there when you move people there from California?
The only consistent fear that I hear is, don't come here and change Texas. Be Texas. Be a part of Texas. Come here for the reasons of why you left where you left, and be a participant in this great democracy. Do not come here and change it into your blue state, because those are the reasons you left. And so that is a legitimate concern, because many of these companies relocating from California, like Toyota's bringing 3,000 people, you know, not all of them are probably going to share the reasons Toyota left or the values of what Texas has, but that could be a voting block. So our reason is, look, don't come here just for the job. Come here because of why the jobs come here and why families thrive here to be a part of this. And let this be an example to other blue states. I think the next generation in California, if it wakes up and realizes the poverty and living in, you know, grandma's basement with $250,000 in student loan debt and no real good paying jobs, maybe that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back, but who knows?
Yeah. Talking to Paul Chabot from conservativemove.com. So you've moved a lot of people. You've got this thing going. You're out. What you bought your house for in Texas compared to California, just give somebody a quick idea of the difference of what you get there comparatively to here.
Yeah, so I would say, you know, for $250,000, $300,000, you're easily looking at a typical average, you know, four-bed, two-bedroom house. You can get everything from a ranch with cows on it, or we live in a huge HOA with two golf courses and 40 communities, and it varies. In fact, where we live in North Texas in McKinney, an area called Stonebridge, this whole area of North Texas reminds me of Orange County, California in the 1980s. There's cranes up everywhere, new bridges, new office buildings, new homes. They just cannot, you know, build enough. Of all the people that have contacted us at conservativemove.com, we've had about 2,500 families contact us within 3 weeks. 1,500 of those are from California, and they're all kind of sharing the same story. They're looking to get their kids in some schools, or the crime rate is out of control, or they're looking for just better-paying jobs and a way of life. That is a very welcome concept here, and I would say North Texas and Arizona and Utah and Idaho and South Carolina, many of these states offer not just what, you know, Texas does, but what other red communities do. And I think the Inland Empire, Inland Area, Sacramento, out in the valley, still has that bread and butter family feel, but unfortunately they can't thrive because of the state laws and state policies.
His name's Paul Chabot. He runs conservativemovement.com. You could check it out. We appreciate you coming on today. Very interesting, and we're seeing more and more taxpayers and jobs and job creators leave this state, and that's a sad thing, and we appreciate you talking about that today, Paul.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. Anytime.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. But this is what we've got now. We've got a one-party state, and I don't know about you, but I would like to see the other party take some power back so we have some balance. We'll never get a 100% 50-50 on each side kind of balance, but I would like some balance. Chad Benson Show.
You are in it up to your ears. Literally. There's no turning back now.
You dented my boob. You totally dented it.
You know who you are.
Here's Chad Benson.
I love movies. You guys know that. This past weekend, took my little brothers, Dakota and Elijah. Surprised Jack. We went to the movies, spent the whole day playing football, just having an awesome day. My little dude, Jack. And we went and saw the Emoji Movie. The Emoji Movie got a 7 on Rotten Tomatoes. And here's the thing. The internet is a wonderful thing, but it can be evil as well. People can do bad things. And a lot of studios are complaining about Rotten Tomatoes because so many people use Rotten Tomatoes and the tomato meter as a reason to go see a film or not to see a film. And critics are the ones who really, you know, I mean, I don't go by what critics say. I just don't. I don't go by Yelp stuff, and part of the reason I don't go by that is because you just never know. Now, if you've got 5,000 Yelp reviews, that's a little bit better. But if you've got 8 and 7 of them are negative, and I have a feeling that maybe, just maybe, that this is a pissed-off customer who continues to go off something or a rival, you don't know. Perfect examples this past weekend. I went and saw the Emoji Movie. Got panned. In fact, it was one critic that saved it from getting a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes. A 0. Just one critic. So we went and saw it. Now, mind you, I'm with an 11-year-old, 2 7-year-olds, and myself. Right? So I got my son, my 2 little brothers. The movie is made for kids. It's got some stuff in there that we can laugh about as they go through worlds, and there's some humor that some adults can get. But what did you expect? It's not Shakespeare in the Park. It's about an emoji, meh, played by T.J. Miller, who is hilarious, who has too many expressions. So don't do with the guy. It's exactly what it should have been. They ended up doing $28 million, and it'll more than do okay. But studios are fighting back, and I have zero problem with that. Because, again, how – and this is the thing about the internet, the greatness of connecting us all, giving us opportunity to see and read reviews. But the reality is you can do so much damage, and it doesn't matter what it is. And that's why when you look at why political correctness plays such a huge part in what a lot of these CEOs and companies do when something goes south or somebody who works for their company says something off color, and because they're afraid of the backlash. And I like the fact that Sony and a lot of these other companies are fighting back, because I take it all with a grain of salt anyways. I want to find out for myself. If it's a crap movie, I learned a lesson, is what it is. But a 7? It's kind of a funny, goofy movie about emojis. What did you expect? Manchester by the Sea, which, by the way, was just awful. Depressing. Who wants that for 2 hours? Text the program, 323-538-2423. Email us, chat@chadbensonshow.com. That's old style for you millennials out there. Email, right? Email, super old style. You can tweet at us as well, @ChadBensonShow. It is the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.